A report released this week tries to put numbers on drug use among Wisconsin youth, particularly among middle and high school students.
The second annual youth survey on risky substance use surveyed almost 2,000 students in 50 school districts and 20 Wisconsin counties to gauge substance abuse and look for solutions. It found that a substantial percentage of students have tried substances that include tobacco, alcohol, marijuana, and harder drugs like heroin and meth, and that more than half of kids who try these substances keep using them.
Anthony Alvarado joins us now. He's co-founder of Rise Together, the nonprofit organization which conducted the survey. Rise Together works to prevent substance abuse among youth through a nationally recognized school speaking program. And Anthony, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, can you lay out some of the key findings of this report on substance use among Wisconsin youth?
Absolutely. So as you indicated, we've been traveling for the last 3 years. We actually have been able to take survey respondents upwards of almost 7,000 students. Last year alone, we were able to take almost 2,000 survey responses in, and we found some alarming results. We did recognize that, yes, about half of the students that were in front of them have already tried some form of drug or actually have experimented with alcohol, while primary usage, starting off with alcohol and tobacco and marijuana, what is really alarming is that we're finding almost 20% of the students have experimented with prescription drugs. And if you know anything about the disease of addiction, unfortunately, that can also lead people to battle substance use disorders and then maybe even battle long-term addiction. And that, unfortunately, could lead that person into a really tough situation and ultimately death. So in all reality, as serious as this conversation is, while we might be having students say, hey, you know what, I tried drugs and alcohol, and I did it because I was curious or because my friends used, we're also seeing them using drugs and alcohol because a high amount of stress in their life. So they're using it more as a coping mechanism over anything else. And some of those individuals, especially since some students are experiencing trauma or have in the past, or maybe struggling with stress or anxiety or maybe even depression and leading to more mental health concerns such as suicidal tendencies and even contemplating suicide, it really is a combination of struggles that the students are dealing with. And our survey that we've launched to the state is identifying some of those key findings.
And another finding, if I read it right, if a student has tried something once, about half of those students who tried something once are still doing it. Is that right?
Right, that's about right. About one out of every two students that have tried either drugs or alcohol are continuing to use, although we can say that about 80% on average of the students that have seen a Rise Together presentation are indicating that they're less likely to use. So what we do know also that students are really behind learning about the dangers of drugs and alcohol, really interested in further educational and awareness opportunities, and ultimately are recognizing this as a social concern or social crisis. I literally have seen 75,000 plus students take a stand, raise their hand, vocally shout out that drugs are a problem in the community. And that was from all different counties from all over the state. I mean, we're talking 20 different counties last year, but we're talking about 27 the year before, so we're all over Wisconsin, and no matter what community I visit, it's no doubt that drugs are a problem in that community, whether it's a big community or a smaller community. This addiction epidemic that we're in, it does not discriminate. And on top of that, 60,000-plus students have made a stand and said, hey, look, this is also a problem in our school. And while maybe it's more of a problem in high school, it still is the beginning use is starting as early as typically between 13 to 15 years old. So you're talking more within even that middle school environment. So if we're really going to get behind prevention, as if prevention is key, as it is often said, well, then we really need to be educating our students as early as, you know, third grade, fifth grade, all the way through middle school and throughout high school, and develop a fuller curriculum that addresses substance use, addiction, and mental health.
Talking to Anthony Alvarado, co-founder of Rise Together. That nonprofit organization just released some of their new data on drug use among kids, youth, teens in Wisconsin. And let's talk a little more about Rise Together, Anthony, and the approach you take. How is your group in particular trying to turn the tide on drug use among kids?
Well, we primarily focus on an educational school speaking program, which we are considered a national program, but most of our work over the last 3 years has been within the state of Wisconsin. So we take approach with an awesome team of professionals, recovery advocates, even parents that have lost their son or daughter to the disease of addiction, or maybe even treatment professionals and professionals of all sorts, and even musicians. We take the stage, we're able to create a great amount of awareness around these topics within the school environment through our educational presentations. And what that does is create more of an awareness campaign that really helps to eliminate the stigma that surrounds addiction and mental health. So now we are not only engaging those students in the conversation, but we're encouraging them to ask for help for the very first time. And as a resource provider, we can actually connect them with the local resources within the school or outside of the school, and even provide a network of recovery coaches and peer support specialists to potentially work with those families, and also a number of online resources that they can get connected with. What we are recognizing is there's a huge barrier where there isn't as much availability or access to the resources that are available currently in our community. And when students are looking to reach out for help, or even individuals or young people are looking to reach out for help, they don't really know where to turn to. You know, so we're really becoming more of that conduit or the catalyst to that conversation. And, man, it is being a father of two, a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old, I couldn't imagine, you know, how difficult it must be, you know, even for my children to feel comfortable enough to ask for help within their school, for example. And they even come home and ask for help. I mean, that's a difficult conversation to have. And what we're finding is that's the same story for thousands and thousands of students. And unfortunately, because of the social stigma that's around these topics, man, these kids are carrying shame and guilt for a long period of time and really lacking, I guess, in the understanding or having the confidence to reach out, regardless of what they struggle with, whether it's substance use or a mental health concern, or even if it's just a specific challenge in their life. I mean, the attitude that we take from stage is really building compassion and empathy and helping to build resiliency in our today's youth for a better future.
You know, Anthony, schools will do screenings for a hearing, eye exams, that sort of thing. Is this a case where, since it's hard for students to take the next step, you're looking for some kind of screening or outreach from the schools, the community, to maybe nudge that kid to take that first step and reach out for help?
Yes, I think even what Rise Together can provide, we do the educational presentation, and school speaking can be impactful, but what's the next step? And we've always looked at that, whether we're in development of a student-led program and helping to extend advocacy and encouraging students to become leaders and take action and fight up against this addiction epidemic that we're in. I think teens have an unbelievable power to do so, and we're going to continue to mobilize them in the best ways possible, because everybody needs to be in this fight kind of conversation. But at the same time, like, what are some evidence-based practices that are out there that can help in this conversation? And that's why we made a policy recommendation around the implementation or tool of ESPRT on a more universal level. So ESPRT, in short, stands for Screening, Brief Intervention, and Referral to Treatment, and it's more of a motivational interview process that takes place with students that may be in risk and maybe aren't in risk, and they can have that forward conversation and address their current use and get them on the path of limiting that use and maybe even to a complete sobriety standpoint, so they don't have to suffer with substance use disorder or potentially a long-term addiction.
Talking about a new report that tries to put some numbers on drug use among middle and high school students in Wisconsin and efforts to help those students stop using those substances. Anthony Alvarado is with us. He's co-founder of Rise Together, a program that helps prevent youth substance abuse.
And we want to hear from you on this. Are you concerned about increased drug use among school kids? Do you know young people who are experimenting or even regularly using drugs? And what do you think we should do to combat this growing problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We're continuing our conversation about drug use among Wisconsin youth, many of them school students. You can join the conversation and tell us what you think. Do you see an increase in young people using drugs in your community? What do you think is the root cause and what can be done to turn it around? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you could tweet us at Central Time WPR is our Twitter handle.
Anthony Alvarado stays with us. He's co-founder of Rise Together, a program that helps prevent substance abuse among youth. And Anthony, I understand as part of Rise Together, recovering addicts themselves are part of the program, part of the message for kids. Why was that an important part of this?
I think ultimately, even I'll just speak from a personal standpoint, I'm a person in long-term recovery, and what that means is I've been completely clean and sober from all drugs and alcohol for coming up on 4 years this November, and four awesome years at that, and being able to have that lived experience and share that personal testimony and that story of redemption and how we overcame those challenges, whether it was those challenges that we were experiencing back in middle school, maybe in high school, maybe in early parts of our life, we are able to connect and relate to those students on such a level that that's when they start to open up and actually start to listen and want to listen. And so it becomes more of a message of hope, if you would want to say that, because we're not focusing on or glamorizing drug use or focusing on the negatives, but instead the positives of staying clean and sober. And it's actually pretty awesome and pretty cool to be sober. And I don't think if I'm correct, if I know anything at all, that our normal media, movies, music, etc., even spread that message at all. So it is amazing to see not only groups like Rise Together and our team doing the work that we're doing, but millions and millions of people that are in recovery today are starting to unite and share those stories of recovery and tell the world that recovery is possible. And that is also influencing our next generation, which ultimately could help curb this drug epidemic that we're in.
Congratulations on that upcoming 4 years. And let's go to our callers now, Anthony, with Tom in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi. Anthony makes great points. He's absolutely right. There is a change going on in the culture, and it starts with the young people and the approach to what it means to be in recovery, to be sober. And as a parent of a young man 13 years ago who got into the drug culture in one of our small towns, I decided I needed to take a look at my relationship with substances. And alcohol is the one substance that's the most common, and how the environment that we raise our kids in. And today, we run a project called Aaron's House and Grace House, which is recovery houses for college students in Madison.
Yeah.
And this is our 10th school year for Aaron's House. And these things happen and work because the young people make changes in their lives, but also there's changes that get made in families' lives, too.
Absolutely.
Tom,
absolutely. I love what you guys are doing, especially within the collegiate atmosphere, talking about supporting young people and families all throughout the community. Definitely well aware of what you guys do, and I really appreciate you calling in and just even supporting our message, and we'd like to show that respect and support back to you as well.
Tom, thanks for that call. Anthony, when I think of movie scenes I've seen of recovery and drug treatment, things like that in pop culture, it's this sort of tough love, almost a punitive approach. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing from you and from Tom, our caller, is a more positive approach, as in the positive side of abstaining from substance use.
Absolutely. You got to meet people where they're at. And each person has their own individual story. Each person has their own individual struggles. But ultimately, if we're going to face this addiction epidemic today, we really have to look at it from a public health standpoint and really treat these people as sick people versus bad people. So it's not a punitive program where we're relying on incarceration to arrest addiction and potentially solve it. Not that consequences and the police departments and the police force don't have a part in this, because they absolutely do. But so does all other parts of the community, and that includes the schools, that includes the teens and the youth, that includes the families and young people in recovery and those that have been impacted by addiction. The recovery movement by no means is just for people in recovery. It is for everybody, and it's time that we all start paying attention to this issue, because I could get on my pedestal here, and I do this quite often, and especially during National Recovery Month here in September, we're going to be doing a lot of rallies. The state rally in Madison's coming up, and we speak about these things in such a way where, man, if there was anything else out there that was literally killing our next generation, killing thousands of people every month, at this epidemic level or rate, we would be rioting in the streets. We would be nonstop having these conversations at whatever extent we needed, and it would influence pop culture and everything else that we are involved in. But we're just kind of getting there, right? Like, we're just starting to see a tipping point. And I truly believe, to the last caller's point, is it's because of the voices of young people, of our teens, and even the mothers that have lost children due to overdose.
Very briefly, Anthony, because we're just about out of time, as we watch for opioid addiction in Wisconsin, meth addiction, can you give a message for parents, maybe of children entering this age group, a quick note to them to help them avoid these problems?
I think one of the keys, and this is something me and my son talk about, is creating open space, an open environment where your student, your young one, your son, your daughter can actually come to you with the struggles that are going on in their life, whether it's with substance use or not. Creating that safe place of conversation, a consistent one at that, is absolutely crucial, because this isn't just a one and done deal. This isn't like we just present this idea or we just talk once at home and then I'm over it. Whether it's sex education, drug education, or just a healthy way of living conversation, make it be as consistent as possible. Also, the prescription drugs, make sure you are taking those prescriptions back. If you're not using them longer, don't leave them out in the open. Leave them locked up. It is extremely crucial that we do that. Far too often, we're discovering that most of the time when teens or youth are getting these prescription drugs, it's within their own homes.
That's a good place to leave it. Thanks to Anthony Alvarado, co-founder of the nonprofit Rise Together. We've been talking about substance abuse by youth in Wisconsin.